150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." God has commanded me to praise Him and be His witness to His truth. And I feel that's why He's given me this opportunity. So, I thought we'd take a little time this evening for some praise and worship. And since it's the time of year when we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, I thought we could look at a couple of passages, a few verses from or dealing with His birth. So, let us start in the beginning with the book of John, chapter 1. And, of course, starting in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, let's look at some Old Testament prophecies pointing towards the time of God's Son's incarnation. We'll start with Isaiah 9:6. A lot of these verses are very familiar, but they're just... The great thing about God's Word is it just never gets old. For Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The purpose of Christ's coming was for us. From eternity, God's plan was to give Him. Christ is the Son of God. Jesus exists eternally as the Son of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Another familiar verse. Starting in Hebrews 10, starting in verse 5. "Therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come, and the scroll of the book is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" Then down to verse 10. "By this will, the will of the Father, we have been sanctified through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Now let's look at some more prophecies. Back to Isaiah. I keep flipping. 7:14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, meaning God with us, is the promise that God would come in the likeness of man and dwell among us. By His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus truly lives up to the name Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's see, let's turn and look at the fulfillment of these prophecies in Luke chapter 1. Now we'll start in verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Now, Joseph couldn't be left in the dark in all this. Let's look at Matthew and see how God revealed this the most significant events to him. Matthew chapter 1. And starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us." And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Now back in verse 21, it says Jesus will save his people from their sins. Peter affirms this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We can look at that real quick. And speaking of our Lord, Peter says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
He has saved his people from our sins. What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardoned all your iniquities? That was Psalms 103. All right, now for the rest of the story. Flip back to Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were complete for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and watching over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." If we think back to Isaiah 9:6, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, come to earth in a virgin through the virgin birth. True peace comes to those who submit their lives to Lord Jesus Christ. The New King James Version of verse 14 in Luke 2 says it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." If we look at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we can see an example of God's goodwill. Starting 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3, towards the end of verse 3, "God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." We also see some God's goodwill in 2 Peter 3:9. I can just read this, where it says, "He is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." In God's goodwill, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16, of course. I'd just like to close with an excerpt from this daily devotional by John MacArthur. And it's titled, "Why Was Jesus Born?" For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. Here is a side to the Christmas story that isn't often told. Those soft little hands, fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, were made so that nails might be driven through them. Those baby feet, pink and unable to walk, would one day walk up a dusty hill to be nailed to a cross. That sweet infant's head, with sparkling eyes and eager mouth, was formed so that someday men might force a crown of thorns onto it. That tender body, warm and soft, wrapped in swaddling clothes, would one day be ripped open by a spear. Jesus was born to die. Don't think I'm trying to put a damper on your Christmas spirit. Far from it. For Jesus' death, though devised and carried out by men with evil intentions, was in no sense a tragedy. In fact, it represents the greatest victory over evil anyone has ever accomplished. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. If we could sing number 179 together, "Angels We Have Heard on High."